Colossians chapter 2. If you've ever received an email from me, you have seen this verse. If you received the invitation to be here tonight, you've seen this verse. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for this time together. We're so thankful for your word, for the Holy Spirit, for a place to gather together as the body of Christ. Father, I know that we are just one little part of this huge, massive body of Christ. But we are here to do our part. As you spoke to the seven churches in the book of Revelation, we are a church that you desire to speak to. And we desire to have ears to hear and eyes to see what you are going to speak to each and every one of us tonight. I thank you, Father, for the word of God is quick and it is powerful and it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And it will pierce and divide asunder soul and spirit. It will get to the very heart of the things that we each individually need to hear from you tonight. We give you glory and honor for it, for the dealing with the traditions and doctrines of men that might make the word of God of none effect. Set us free so that we can go forth and do exactly what you speak to our hearts tonight. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
One of the things about this, it says abounding therein with thanksgiving. As it's talking about abounding, and you have to kind of read back through this verse. Now, obviously, I started with King James, but let me read some other translations for you. Kind of helps us see it from a little different perspective. They're similar, but there are key phrases that sometimes are just worded a little different that help us maybe get a little more clarification. In the New Living Translation, it says this, "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thanksgiving." Now it says we're going to overflow with what? Thanksgiving. Message translation says this, "My counsel for you is simple and straightforward. Just go ahead with what you've been given. You received Christ Jesus the Master. Now live him. You're deeply rooted in him. You're well constructed upon him. You know your way around the faith. Now do what you've been taught. School's out, quit studying the subject, and start living it. And let your living spill over into thanksgiving." Another translation says this, "You have accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord. Now keep on following him. Plant your roots in Christ and let him be the foundation of your life. Be strong in your faith, just as you were taught, and be grateful." So what is it that we have to be grateful for? What is it that we should be abounding therein with thanksgiving? What is it that we should have let our life spill over into thanksgiving? You know, let's face it, we live in a society today that really isn't very thankful. In fact, we live in a society today that I think, in many cases, is expecting people to do things for them. They have a level of expectation. They have a level of wanting people to do things for them. It's almost ungrateful, unthankful sometimes. You know, it disturbs me when you help somebody through a door or you do something and they just walk through and they don't even say thank you.
Right.
You know, it's just like you're being courteous, I'm sorry, I know I'm older than some of you, not all of you, but some of you, and I'm still a gentleman. If I get to the door before a woman, or if I can beat her to the door, I'm going to open it for her. Now, she might be a woman's lib and go, "I can open the door for myself." Okay. I thought I'd help. I'm not an invalid. I didn't say you were. I'm just trying to help. I'm trying to be a nice guy. You're welcome. You know? And so, sometimes your good deeds maybe aren't appreciated. And we have a lot of people that have an expectation for things without the appreciation. And so, let's not be one of those people, amen? As a believer, Now again, we don't have to act like the world. We shouldn't look like the world. We shouldn't talk like the world. It says, be not conformed to this world. And that is a worldly attitude. The world says, somebody owes everything to me. You know, honestly, when we were bought and paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not our own anymore. I'm thankful that I'm His. And so today, the world can leave people frustrated in life. The world will leave you struggling for unrealized expectations. And that's why people are so angry. That's why people are frustrated. Things haven't gone the way they thought they should go. But as a Christian, as a believer, we should be thankful and grateful for every single day that we walk in this earth today. Every single day. I am, you know, we sang that song, I'm grateful for the air I breathe. You say, well, that's kind of simple. Have you ever watched those commercials about the old guy that's got COPD or something? You know, you start to realize there's a lot of people out there that are not as healthy maybe as you and I. Maybe don't know about the healing powers of God. Maybe don't know about the promises of God. Maybe don't have their eyes on eternity. They're just frustrated with the life here and now. And maybe life here and now is tough. You know, we can all compare our battle scars. Oh, that's nothing. You should have seen what I've gone through. We can all do that. But it's not about what we've been through. I know who we are going through. We are in Him, it says here. We are to follow Him. We are supposed to live our lives through Him because we have our eyes on that prize, which is eternal life. So, as a Christian, what should we be thankful for? You know, 1 Thessalonians 5 talks about in everything give thanks. It doesn't say for everything. It always bothers me when I hear someone say, well, you know, that cancer you got, give thanks for it. Are you kidding me? I'm not going to thank God for the cancer. I'm going to thank God for the healer that's going to take care of the cancer. My thankfulness is for Jesus who bore my stripes, my sickness, my disease. By His stripes, what? I have been healed. That's what I'm thankful for. I'm not thankful for anything that comes along that steals, kills, and destroys. Because I know where that came from. That's my enemy that I have to deal with. But yet you've got people, well, you know, just be thankful. Be thankful for that. No. It says, in, not for, in. No matter what the circumstance is, God has an answer. No matter what the circumstance is, there's a way that God can deal with our situation and our circumstance. We've all been through difficult times. We've all had tragedy happen in our lives. We've all faced challenges. Like I said, everyone could come up with something that is so overwhelming, so grief in our hearts, that we have to just fight the good fight of faith. But Jesus came for that very purpose. He sent the Comforter for that very purpose. For us to receive Him. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus. That word Christ is referring to the anointing and the Holy One of Israel. The Holy Spirit coming into our life to help us. He's our counselor, our guide. He's the wisdom that can lead us out into these difficult places. Out of these difficult places. So, what can we be thankful for? I think first of all we should be thankful for, as these scriptures say, for the truth that we've been taught. You know, I am around a lot of different people and different pastors and preachers, and it's amazing to me how many people do not have a gospel truth being taught from the churches that they attend. We just were told recently of a situation where someone sat through a whole sermon with this pastor that they were visiting, and they said they didn't use one scripture. There was not one scripture in the whole sermon. No mention of the Bible, no mention of Jesus. I'm thinking, how can a pastor, a minister, stand up here and say that I'm going to minister the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, never mention His name, never use the Bible, never mention anything from the Word of God? I might as well be standing up there reading the phone book. Amen. Give me the instruction manual for the refrigerator down the hall. And I might as well just be reading that, because that's about how much help you're going to get. If we don't have Jesus, if we don't have His Word, and again, it's incredible to me that a pastor or a preacher would call themselves a minister of the gospel when they're not even willing to stand up and preach the good news. That's what the gospel is. We know that. Isn't that true? It says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus, walk in Him, and what? Be thankful for the truth that we received. Now, again, I'm sure that I could probably give you more scriptures and maybe be more elegant in my speaking, but one thing I know that we do in this church is we preach the Word of God. We are a Word-oriented church. Always we're going to take you back to what the Word of God says. It's not my opinion. We don't take a vote around here. So, how many of you think that Jesus still heals today? Yay or nay? I don't care what anybody votes. The Word of God says, Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, Matthew 8, 17, 1 Peter 2, 24, old, new, all the way across the board, He says, by His stripes you were healed. Jesus is still the healer. Jesus never once made anybody sick in the New Testament. He didn't go around anywhere and say, I love you so much, I'm going to give you cancer. I want to teach you something. No, He teaches us what? We are taught how? Through the Word of God. I'm so thankful for the Word of God. Without it, my life would not have been changed. I think the other thing it says here, when you start going through this list of things to be thankful for, it says having a solid foundation or being established in the faith. Again, we have too many Christians that aren't really established on the solid rock of the Word of God. It's established on the traditions and doctrines of men that are shifting sand. It's amazing that most denominations that started out with a true Reformation or a true gospel-oriented idea over a couple of centuries or over a couple of decades, all of a sudden have compromised and no longer consider the Word of God as the final authority for truth. They look at other things instead. So for us, I'm glad we have a solid foundation, not some superficial or shallow foundation. I think there's too many people that have superficial faith instead of supernatural faith. We're supposed to have supernatural faith, amen, built on the Word of God. The other thing it says that we can be thankful for, it says to be deeply rooted or built up in Him. Now, if you've been around again for any length of time, you've heard us talk about the in Him principles. Who we are in Christ. Not who I am in the world. We've all been in the world. We've all come out of the world. We're in a sense still in it, but we're not of it any longer. And that's an identification. I have to identify with who I am in Christ and who Christ is in me. And you start going through these. He says, be thankful that I continue to follow Him. Another one says, walking in Him. Another one says, living for Him. My identification in Him is what I should be living out of, not this culture. You know, our worldly culture wants to make us conform to it. And as I said earlier, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That takes the Word of God. And so as we look at the Bible, we find out what that identification is. We can be thankful that our lives are built on that solid rock, not the shifting sand of our culture. Just think of all the things that have changed just in my lifetime. I think back to when I was a kid, and I know people joke about it, and we watch the old TV shows, you know. I'm not even going to name any names of some of the old shows because I'll date myself. But all these old shows, they were clean. There was no swearing on it. There was no smut. There just wasn't it, culture. Our society wouldn't even stand for it. But our culture became so just kind of compromised. We just kind of went to sleep. We just kind of, you know, oh, well, all right. You compromise just a little bit, what's going to happen? Just a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Just a little leaven. That little leaven is an unknown and unseen element of yeast that works into a bunch of dough. You can't see it, you can't understand, but you walk away and you come back, and the next thing you know, that dough has puffed up. And our society now has so puffed itself up that now everything that is contrary to what the Bible says is almost in your face. And if you want to stand up for the gospel, you're called all kinds of names. That's sad. They can call me names all day long. It doesn't affect me because I know who I am in Christ. My identification, again, is in Christ. You know, again, people say, well, you're mean, you're a homophobic, or you're blah, 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 blah. No, I'm not. I'm a child of God, and I, as a child of God, will love anybody and everybody because that's what He tells us to do, to love thy neighbor as thyself. That doesn't mean I have to accept or agree with everything that they do. And I certainly don't have to celebrate it or endorse it. I can't endorse abortion. I can't endorse or celebrate same-sex marriage because that's not in the Bible. Oh, Pastor, you shouldn't say that publicly. Why not? It was okay to say 10 years ago, 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago. All of a sudden, we can't because of only one thing, our culture. People say, well, we got to pray that our culture changes. You know how that's going to change? One heart at a time. You and I all know people that need Jesus. Or we all know people that have accepted Christ, but they're not walking, following, living in Him. They have compromised because they're afraid that someone's going to say something against them. You know, Jesus didn't ask us to come into a popularity contest. My, oh my, I guarantee you this. My background is walking in the fear of man. I was afraid to stand up even in speech class and give a speech. My grandson the other day had to, he wanted to practice a speech he had to give. So he had me sit down with him and he had his little 3x5 card and he did his little speech. And after he was all done, I gave him a couple pointers. And I said, you know, when I was your age, I would have taken a fail, an F. And in fact, there were times that I did because I was so petrified to stand up in front of everybody. Isn't God got a sense of humor? You know, God called me to do this. But the enemy, the world, said, don't you dare stand up in front of anybody. Because what are they going to think about you? And you know what? You have to just die to yourself. It's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. So, with your family, with your co-workers, with the guy that you run into at the coffee shop that starts saying something, you know, we can hold our peace or we can ask questions. We can be, you know, encouraging to that person and just ask them. Again, you don't have to be combative, as I was sharing here a couple weeks ago, but we can be challenging and say, now, why do you believe that? Do you really think everybody believes that that's okay? Do you really think that that's acceptable in our society today? Do you think that makes our society and our world better to be talking that way or thinking that way or acting that way? And just get into a conversation with them. You don't have to be a jerk. You know, they're already going to think you are by bringing it up or talking to them. But, you know, it says in meekness, 2 Timothy chapter 2 says, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, that God peradventure will give them a change of heart to acknowledging of the truth. They won't acknowledge that truth until they have an opportunity to face it. And guess what? You and I are those people who can stand there and say, why do you believe that? Tell me why you believe that. Well, a lot of times they don't even know why they believe it. They've just accepted it because they've been bombarded and they've been embalmed in this doubt and unbelief. They've been embalmed in these traditions and doctrines. They've been they're brainwashed and they've swallowed the propaganda. And they've gone on with it. So here we are. What are we to be thankful for? I'm thankful for the truth of the Word of God. I am thankful for that solid foundation being established in the faith. I am so thankful for a supernatural faith. I am thankful for these deep-rooted things that are in my life based on who I am in Christ, following Him, walking in Him, living for Him. My identification is in Him. But none of that is any good if I don't do the first thing. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus. You know, one of the first things that you and I have to be concerned about with anyone that we meet, have they received Christ? You've heard me share how sometimes we would get into certain meetings when I was involved with the business association or something. They'd find out I'm a pastor and, oh, what are you doing? So I'd say, well, are you a Christian? And I always laugh because they'd say, no, I'm a Catholic. or something like that. Well, I thought that meant you were a Christian. You know, don't identify with your denomination. Identify with the head of the church. Amen? Don't say, well, I'm a Presbyterian, or I'm a Methodist, or I'm a Baptist, or I'm even a Word of Faith guy. We're a believer. Amen? Sometimes people say, what kind of church do you belong to? I say, Christian. It's a Bible-centered church. It's a Word-centered church. It's a Christ-centered church. You know, I get nervous about these labels, because as soon as I say we're charismatic, they think we're going to be swinging from the chandeliers. If I say I'm Pentecostal, they think my wife's in sin because she's got pants on. Some of you understand that. Old-time Pentecostals couldn't wear makeup. They couldn't cut their hair. They had to make sure that they were covered with their, you know, skirts down to, so they stripped on them when they walked. So you say, I'm Pentecostal, and they go, oh. But I believe in Pentecost. I believe in the Acts chapter 2. So you say a word like that, and all of a sudden, they want to identify you. No, my identification is where? In Him. I'm sorry, in Him. I am thankful that I am where? In Him. I am thankful that I have the gospel of truth. Where is it? In Him. Because I have received Christ Jesus. You know, sometimes I've told this story, but I'm going to tell it again. I'm telling off on myself. When we first got saved, we were in a church that they told you had to go out and witness. You had to go street witness. You had to win the locks. Glory to God. Everybody's an evangelist. Hallelujah. Now, this was a guy who was still dealing with the fear of man. So we mustered up as much courage as we could. Mary and I and two other friends, we went to, when we were living in South Minneapolis, we went to Lake Harriet, got our little handful of gospel tracts, and me and the other guy were out in front of them, and she and another woman were behind us, and we were walking around Lake Harriet, and we would come up to people, and we'd try to hand them a tract, you know, we were going to be evangelizing the world, hallelujah, passing out tracts. I was so scared and so stupid and so immature and so young at this. I remember we walked up and I said to this guy, these couple of guys walking around, kind of like nervous, shaking. Have you heard of Jesus? And the guy looked at me like, of course we've heard of Jesus. Well, that's just a, you know, I just was stupid that, have you heard of Jesus? So we gave him the track and they took the track probably just to be nice and get us out of their hair. Well, so they're walking by, and by this time, Mary and the other woman have kind of given up. They said, this is stupid. So they sat down on a bench, if I remember correctly, and they heard these guys walking by. And they're talking about these two idiots passing out tracts. Bunch of idiots. What do they do? Think we live in a cave, never heard about Jesus? Well, see, it wasn't about, have you heard about Jesus? The question is, had they received Jesus? I didn't know the difference back then. I didn't know how to ask the right question. See, if you ask the wrong question, what do you usually get? The wrong answer. So here I'm asking, have you heard about Jesus? Well, of course they'd heard about Jesus. They probably used His name in vain somewhere in that day already. They knew about Jesus. They'd heard His name. The difference is they hadn't received Jesus. You know, for years I'd heard about Jesus. I was brought up in a denominational church. I'd heard all the things. I was confirmed in a denominational church. I knew the Apostles' Creed. I had to quote the 23rd Psalm. You know, you had to do all the things that you do to get confirmed. But I had not received Jesus. Oh, I learned about Jesus. Now, there's a lot of people that call themselves Christian that are not yet believers. There's a difference. They have not given their life and received Christ. So the thing that we ought to be so thankful for, and that's what Paul is saying to this Colossian church. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus. Because the first thing we have to do is receive Him. Then we can walk in Him. Then we can be rooted and built up in Him. Then we can be established in the faith as to what we've been taught. Then we can really be abounding therein with thanksgiving. See, there's no way to be thankful if you're just kind of knowing about Jesus, hearing about Jesus, but having not received Jesus. I am so thankful because there was a point in my life where I finally came to the recognition and the realization I needed not to just know about Jesus, but I needed to receive Him as my personal Savior. Amen? Romans chapter 1, Paul says this, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by some means now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, now listen to why, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Let me wrap this up. I'm encouraged and I am thankful, as Paul was for all of you. I'm encouraged and I'm thankful that I believe the body of Christ is beginning to start to wake up a little bit. I just heard someone talking about this here the other day, thinking about the fact that this man said, really, for many years, the body of Christ has just been kind of comatose, slumbering a little bit. But whether you like the current president or not, whether you voted in for him or not, obviously a lot of evangelicals made the decision that whether they liked it or not, they didn't want the other person. They didn't like the direction that the country was going. And enough people came out and said enough is enough. Now that was minor, but it was also significant. Because there are certain moral issues that are not political issues. Abortion is not a political issue. Thank you for that burst of silence. Come on. It's not a political issue. It's a biblical issue. It's a moral issue. And say, well, are you down on anyone that's had abortion? Absolutely not. I know people who have had them, and I know the struggle that they've had. I know the heartache. But I also know that the blood of Jesus has cleansed them from all unrighteousness. Because that is no different of a sin than any other sin. Sin is sin. And Jesus bought and paid for all of them. So one sin isn't worse than another. There's only one sin that sends a person to hell, and that's the rejection of Jesus Christ. So as you have therefore received him, don't reject him. There's people that have rejected Christ because they have looked at the church and say, I don't want to have anything to do with a bunch of crazy hypocrites. That's not going to be an excuse when they stand before Jesus. So as the church, we have to make sure we do a better job of representing Christ, the head of the church. Not speaking down to people, not accusing people, not condemning people. We are here to encourage people and love people and give them an answer. And sometimes that's not the answer they want. But you keep giving them the right answer. Keep giving them the biblical answer. And you keep encouraging them. Just say, you know, don't argue with me. They're not fighting you. They're fighting themselves. They're fighting against the truth, that still small voice that is working on the inside of them. So as this says, I'm encouraged because I think there's something that God wants to impart to the body of Christ so that we can go out and do the great commission and the gospel that he's asked us to do. So let's focus our prayers on people that need to hear Jesus. Let's focus on being thankful that people will receive Jesus. And I believe as the church, the body of Christ, we can be encouraged and then we can be established in the faith and let every single person, every member of the body of Christ do what God has told them to do. Amen? Amen. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Well, I'm buzzing enough here. Father, we just are so thankful that each and every one of us have received Christ. Lord Jesus, if there's anyone here tonight,